this life. So we praise you, Lord, and we look forward to seeing what you do in Jesus' name. All right, so, can I see the first slide? The next slide? Oh, it is the right one. Excellent. So, all right. Technical difficulties seem to be behind us. That's very good news. All right, so shameless, completely shameless confession. This is a rerun from July, but I happen to remember that when I gave this sermon the first time, that there weren't many people in the room, and there were definitely a very different group of faces in the room. Well, all that's really regardless, because we're in a series on overcoming and being overcomers, becoming overcomers. And the Lord brought me back around. It took me a while to figure out and discern that he wanted to say something that he'd said before, again, with some modifications. But we're going to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is given to us to reside within us and minister the power of God in us for our transformation and through us for the blessing of other people. The Holy Spirit has been placed within us by the grace of God to minister the power of salvation to us for our transformation into the likeness of Jesus Christ, and for power to move out of us and be able to minister to other people. So the Holy Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit and us accepting this Holy Spirit that God has given is essential for us to have powerful, fruitful lives in our salvation and wherever God has placed us. So, just to review, in Acts 10:45, all the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had also been poured out on the Gentiles. So this harks back to a story where Peter had been gone down to the coast, and then the Lord had led him to minister to this family of Gentiles. And Gentiles had not had the gospel preached to them. They had not had the Holy Spirit come to them or salvation come to them at this point. And Jews weren't supposed to talk to the Gentiles. And yet, he had gone down there, and the Lord had made clear through a vision and through the coming of these particular people that came up and found him specifically that he was supposed to go down and speak to these Gentiles. Now, we'll get to this, or maybe not. I can't really recall. Peter went down and ministered to these Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Well, we're Gentiles. We have the same inheritance that all the Gentiles did from this day forward. And this Holy Spirit that was given was prophesied beforehand, and then we get to see what it looked like when the Holy Spirit came, and then we get to see in this sermon what the power of the Holy Spirit is actually like. So, and keep in mind that, let me just give you some background. I grew up in a Presbyterian church where you wouldn't get saved, ever. And then after we moved, like my dad lost his job, we moved to a different state, and we went to another Presbyterian church where you stood a chance of getting saved, but you wouldn't hear much about the Holy Spirit. And I didn't hear very much about the Holy Spirit. In fact, the things I heard about the Holy Spirit was about people who were really into the Holy Spirit and how messed up they were and all the weird stuff they did, some of which was demonic. That's what I heard about the Holy Spirit, right? So just like, keep your distance from that stuff, right? So I grew up with that. I went to Bible college. I was pursuing being a missionary and all kinds of different things. Long, long story. And even at Bible college, I was wary of all that stuff, even though there were some people there who it just seemed like they were more joyful than I was, and they were more fruitful than I was. I still didn't go near it. I just didn't have any experience, and I just didn't have any teaching that made me feel at ease that some of this stuff with the Holy Spirit, it's actually biblical. There's plenty of stuff with the Holy Spirit that's powerful, it's meant for us, it's actually biblical. So I wouldn't say I was resistant, I was just, no opportunity to really investigate that stuff had really presented it to myself. And but years later, I'd say about 10 or 11 years ago, I met a group of people who knew more about that kind of stuff. And what really made it easy for me to move in that direction is that I didn't understand the Holy Spirit stuff they were talking about. I was a train wreck of a person at the time, and they were loving. They were so loving and so accepting of me, even though my life was a disaster area at the time. And so I thought, there's love here like I haven't seen before. And these people do honor Christ, and they worship him harder and with more enthusiasm than anybody I've ever seen before. So my instincts were like, there's really good stuff here. The love is here, and the centrality of worshiping and appreciating Jesus is here. And I'm going to go enjoy those things. And whatever else you have to say to me, Lord, you can do that. My ears are open. And he did gradually open my ears and help me see the scriptures through the loving ministry of this couple. And that was actually the people who started the living room group like 13 years ago, or 11 years ago. It was Mark and Holly Zepeda. And dear brother and sister, just love them. And I love that they were tuned into the Holy Spirit so much and so full of love that they just made it easy for someone who was far off from all that stuff to come in and feel safe the entire time. Feel safe the entire time. So if you're worried about us talking about the Holy Spirit, first of all, I would just want to remind you that you haven't seen people jumping over pews and falling over on the stage and stuff so far here in this church, and it's been probably years if that ever took place here. I never saw that happen here. So because we talk about the Holy Spirit doesn't mean we're going to talk about craziness and go in the direction of craziness. Because the Lord loves order, and he likes things to be done decently and done well and done beautifully and not make his own name odious to people and offensive to people, the Holy Spirit comes with gentleness wherever you're at. Wherever you're at, the Holy Spirit comes to you with gentleness to speak to you in some way or another. He knows how. I don't know how he's going to speak to you, but he comes with gentleness. And if he's going to say anything to you and you're nervous about who he is and where this whole thing might go, I think that he probably wants to speak peace to you. He probably wants to speak peace to you. First off, like he did with me and that couple that ministered to me, I felt love, I felt peace, I felt joy, and I could see Jesus at the center of it. And Jesus is going to be at the center of it here, and love had better be at the center of it here. All right, so let's dig into this. The Holy Spirit was prophesied. And so we're going to zoom through some of these things because I don't want to take too much of your time. As for me, this is John the Baptist talking. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, which would have been Jesus, is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John the Baptist prophesied of this Holy Spirit that was coming. And again, in another one of the Gospels, and John the Baptist, that was John the Baptist, was preaching, saying, after me one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to bend down and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And again, John the Baptist. In the book of Luke, John responded to them all, saying, as for me, I baptize you with water, but he is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then in the book of John, John the Baptist again. And John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. That was Jesus. This happened when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. The Holy Spirit came down and rested on Jesus in the form of a dove. So that's the background. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him, and I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. So in all four Gospels, the coming of this Holy Spirit that we're talking about today was prophesied by John the Baptist. So who was John the Baptist? He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, meant to introduce Jesus and prepare the hearts of the people to receive their Savior, Jesus. So in all four Gospels, just to make sure we understand that this is prophesied, all four Gospels. And then Jesus says later, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. The helper is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So here's more prophecy about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit to us, Up to that time, the Holy Spirit had been with the disciples, and that's how they were able to go out and do miracles. But Jesus says, he remains with you and will be in you. So there's going to be an upgrade, and that happens a little bit later, we'll see. But Jesus is promising not just that the Holy Spirit to accompany us, like he accompanied the disciples, but to be in us. So there's going to be an upgrade coming, so watch this. In Acts 1, 4 through 5, Jesus is just about to ascend into heaven, and he's with his disciples, gathering them together. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So this was 10 days before Pentecost. Jesus had, at the time of the Passover, been crucified, and then after he rose from the dead for a period of 40 days, appeared to the disciples, and up to even 500 people at once. And then 10 days before Pentecost, on the 40th day after he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and these were almost his last words before he went, is that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so what happens on that day? Well, let's finish up this part about the prophecies of the Holy Spirit. So John the Baptist prophesied that Jesus would baptize people with the Holy Spirit. It occurs in all four Gospels, we see that. John indicates the baptism of the Holy Spirit would be greater than water baptism. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit who had been with them would be in them, and he reiterated this promise just before he ascended into heaven, almost his very last words. All right, so the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we had these prophecies leading up to this, and then when the day of Pentecost came, which was only 10 days after he had spoken those words, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues that looked like fire appeared to them, distributing themselves, and a tongue rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out. And this was the coming of the Holy Spirit. This had been prophesied by John. So for ages, this had been promised by God that he would pour out his Spirit upon the people. He would pour out his Spirit. And John prophesied it at the beginning of, before Jesus' ministry. Jesus prophesied about it, and then this was the day when it came true. The Holy Spirit came and rested on all of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Who was left out? Were any of them left out? All of them were filled, not partly filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out. So that's what the coming of the Holy Spirit looked like in its very first instance we ever have of that. All right, so Peter is giving this speech. They all go out. They're excited. Holy Spirit's impelling them to go out into the streets. It's Pentecost. There's lots of people from other towns and cities because Pentecost, what was Pentecost? Pentecost was the day when God gave the law to the Israelites, an extremely important day in the history of Israel. An extremely important day in the history of Israel was the day that God chose to pour out his Spirit into his people. That day. Why that day? Why the day when he gave the law would he give the Spirit? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. And the law that was given to Moses was a law that had no power to save people. All it did was point out their sin. All the Old Testament law did was point out to people that they couldn't do it on their own. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, and Paul talks about it in Romans 8, the law of the Spirit, there's a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and of death. So now there's a new law, one that can actually deliver us from sin, one that can be transformative for us, and that's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Holy Spirit who turns us on to the life we have in Christ Jesus, who who turns us on to the life that we have in our Savior. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. And you don't need to fear that. You don't need to resist that. You need to receive that promise and that gift of the Holy Spirit. That is meant for all of us. And that's for our transformation and for our enabling and empowerment to be able to minister to other people with power, power from God. So Peter and all the guys, Peter and the guys, they all run out in the street and preaching to this huge crowd. And all the people are there, they're listening and stuff. Remember, they were given this ability, this supernatural ability to speak. And they didn't know they were necessarily speaking in other languages, but there's all these people with these different languages, and yet all the people are hearing them in their native language. So there's some kind of weird miracle going on. This is not the typical action of the gift of tongues, but we'll take it. We'll take it. It's free. It came free, so we're just going to rejoice that it happened. So Peter is speaking, and he's the principal. He's the first among all of these disciples, and he's the leader of them. Peter says to this crowd, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then, a couple of verses later, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." So, Peter, who had just that morning received the Holy Spirit, was talking about how they also would get to receive the Holy Spirit on the same basis that they had. What was that basis? It was repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Come to God. Turn from your sins. Turn from wicked ways. Leave that stuff behind. Come to God who has set you free and who takes you out of the kingdom of darkness. Come. Come and align the direction of your life with this Lord God who you never served before. Come and let the compass point of your heart point toward him now, and you will also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this gift of the Holy Spirit is meant for all of us. This gift of the Holy Spirit is meant for all of us. So what's our responses? Well, we don't want to resist the Holy Spirit like I did, inadvertently and then sometimes advertently resisted the Holy Spirit in times before I knew any of this stuff was true, in times before anybody had taught me. We don't want to be in the position of resistors of the Holy Spirit. We want to be people who receive the Holy Spirit. So let me take a break real quick because there can be some confusion, and this was my point of confusion that kept me from receiving the Holy Spirit for so long. And it basically goes like this. I wouldn't have been able to become a Christian if it wasn't for the movement of the Holy Spirit within me in the first place. And because Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would be in you, I believe that the Holy Spirit was already in me, and the Holy Spirit was already in me. But had I come into alignment with the Holy Spirit? Had I come into agreement with the Holy Spirit? And I did, eventually. And let me tell you what that was like. It was actually before I met Mark and Holly, before they ministered to me and helped me understand the things of the Spirit. I was at a church in a different city, and it was a troubled church. The pastor was a hard-hearted man, and he ruled the place with an iron fist. And they would have different elders and stuff, but he bossed the elders around, and it was just his way, and he wasn't really a spiritual person. And so, like, not a lot happened there. But I'd been to Bible college years before. I'd also been on mission trips. I'd met missionaries. I'd met people who were full of the Holy Spirit. I met people who were ministering the power. I'd read Ministering the Power of the Holy Spirit. I'd read the books, and I knew that, okay, something's wrong here, and I don't know how to address it directly, but all I knew was that prayer could change things. And I just set myself to pray. We didn't even have a weekly prayer meeting or anything like that, so got one of those organized and stuff. But gradually, sort of, people just fell away from that until I was the last one praying, and that's not by any virtue of myself. It's just God had put this determination in me to see this problem at this church solved. I didn't even know how that was happening. And even a lot of parts of my heart were not really in the right place. I was angry at this pastor. But I started to pray about, like, this issue and that issue and the other issue and how the elders were just kind of going along with this stuff and they were equally guilty and stuff. I was like, Lord, please fix this and please fix that over there and please fix that over there. And I just had this gradual inkling sort of building up in my mind saying, I could, if you'd be listening, Keith, if you'd be listening just now while you're talking about those, I could point out that you have some of that same sin in you. And when that inkling grew enough, and I finally realized, Holy Spirit is saying something to me here, it was that Holy Spirit that was in me already, just trying to get my attention. Keith, like any of you who are married know when your wife nudges you, you know, come on. And there was a day when I was praying, Lord, this problem over here, and I just felt like he was just telling me, shut up. And what he said is, I don't want to hear you talk to me about those things unless you let me show them to you in yourself. And I was like, oh, man. Yeah. So I just said, Lord, we are really messed up here. And that moment, when I included myself in it, I said, I'm just as problematic. I was just overwhelmed. And I had this experience of, it was a timeless experience. I don't know how long I was there. I was overwhelmed by this glory and this joy. And it was just like the Lord was saying, you get it. He didn't say, you finally get it, as though to chide me. But I knew I finally had gotten it. And it was just like he was rejoicing that, like, the whole character of my prayer and also my receptivity and my willingness to listen to this Spirit that was already within me, I had received the Holy Spirit. I had welcomed what he was saying in a way I had never done before. I had never been as sensitized to the Holy Spirit as I was at that time. So that's what it looked like for me to receive the Holy Spirit, who had already been in me, wanting to have the stage. Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what a gift. What a gift. Like, that moment marked a change in power for my life. I was afraid to even talk about some of the things that started to happen within me, because for the first time ever, I actually saw things while I was praying. I could see, like, two or three times during this period of a number of months of praying for the church. See visions. One, I remembered that this was beautiful. Two of them I'll just share with you. One was I just got to see the arm of Jesus, just his arm. And it was a muscular arm. He was muscular. He was strong. Jesus is strong. And I needed, at that time, because it was an endurance run praying for the situation in the church. It was an endurance run, and I saw the arm of Jesus. It was a strong arm. And then another one was, I saw all of the people in that church, all of us, like God sees us in heaven, clothed in white robes, all elders, pastor, myself, all of us, problems and all, with white robes, all praising God together. And I had never seen anything like those things before. And it was beautiful. And those things were encouraging to me and empowering to me as I continued to pray and pray for the church. And there was eventually some things happened. It doesn't really matter what, but God was able to move in that church and change the authority structure and break a negative spiritual authority and put proper authority in place in that church. And it transformed that church to some extent. There's this instance here when Peter went down to this house of this man named Cornelius, and he had gone down to there, and was ministering to this guy who's a Gentile. There's this account in Acts 10, talks about it. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message, Cornelius and all these Gentiles. All the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had also been poured out on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. So the Gentiles, the first time the Gentiles have ever had the message of the gospel preached to them, and this is what happens. it's fulfilled with, and the evidence of it being fulfilled is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is meant for us. The Holy Spirit is meant for us. The Jewish believers just couldn't believe it. Like, they just didn't have any idea, even though, like, all the nations were supposed to worship God, and that's in the Old Testament. They just didn't have any idea that he had specific plans to save them as much as he'd saved them. Save them just as much, with just the same Holy Spirit. He was going to save them just the same way. And here it happened. Well, why did it happen with Peter? Remember, Peter was given the keys to the kingdom in that mysterious passage? Peter was the one who correctly identified Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. It's not really clear what those are, but I would ask you to consider this. It was on Pentecost that the gospel was cracked open and the Holy Spirit came to the Jews. And it was through Peter. And then when Philip in Acts 8 went up to Samaria, the Samaritans were kind of the outcasts. They were sort of like semi-Jews and maybe not that really, they weren't respected or considered to be really fully members of the Jewish nation, and they were sort of rejected. But Philip went up there anyway, and he went as an evangelist, and he ministered there, and the people believed, but they didn't receive the Holy Spirit just then. Peter and John, who were still in Jerusalem, had heard that the people in Samaria had believed, and Peter and John went up there and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit, and they received the Holy Spirit. So Peter had received the keys of the kingdom. He cracked it open for the Jews. He cracked it open for the people in Samaria, the Samaritans. And then, in this case, when it finally went to the Gentiles, it was through Peter, and he cracked it open through them, for them. So Peter was given the keys of the kingdom, and that's what it was. In each case, it has something to do with belief, repentance, and the Holy Spirit coming. In all three instances, it's mentioned that the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit's meant to come. The Holy Spirit has come and will come to any of us who will receive him. So all the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had also been poured out on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter responded, surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And then, you know, this caused no small amount of uproar among the Jews because Peter had gone and ministered to Gentiles, and there was all this turmoil because what's happening here? It's like, what's going on? We thought this salvation was for us, and now you've gone. They weren't even supposed to speak to the Gentiles, and yet Peter had gone there, and he kind of had to give an account to these people, the Jews back in Jerusalem, like what had happened. And this is what he says. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he remembered all the way back to what John the Baptist said, even though now it's like 5, 6, 7, 8 years later. I don't know how much later. He remembered this prophecy from John the Baptist, that Jesus would baptize people with the Holy Spirit. And what does baptize mean? Well, we know about baptism. We think of it as going in the water and coming up as representing our death and resurrection with Jesus Christ. But the word baptism was an ordinary word. It was a secular word. It was just a word that was in the language at the time. In Greek, the word was baptismo, and you know what it means? It means when a ship sinks and is completely immersed. That's what that means. And so, when John the Baptist uses this, he's saying, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, I had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Really, I had received the Holy Spirit in the sense that all believers, by virtue of having repented and come to God, do get the Holy Spirit within them. But have I received a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, that day when I said, yes, Lord, for the first time in prayer, that was a baptism for me, an immersion into the Holy Spirit. And God made that really clear because I had this transportive experience. It was an amazing experience. And my life powerfully changed after that point. So what I want you to be at ease about is that if you're saved, but you've never had this experience, this experience may still be in front of you. Or it may have come quietly, subtly, and you're already there. Like, but what I am saying is that there's more regardless of where you are. There's more in the Holy Spirit regardless of where you are in this. And you can be at ease about it because Father was very patient with me. And he was perfectly sensitive to me and where I was. And he was gentle with me as he pulled my ear to try to get my attention. And he was long-suffering with me in that it took weeks to get me to listen to that. And he was gracious when he got enough of my attention for me to say yes, to pour out his Holy Spirit on me then. So he is gentle, and I like to say he's gentlemanly. He doesn't force himself upon anybody because he respects you as a person. He respects your choices. He respects where you are at any given time. And he knows, because I'm a vine in the branch, I'm a branch in the vine, branches take a while to grow. Even if they're paying attention and getting their nourishment from the branch, from the vine itself, it still takes a while for a branch to grow. And he knows all of those things. And he knows where you are. So when he says, receive the Holy Spirit, he's coming to you in your time with respect for you. So it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be individual. And you're going to be glad. And you're going to love it. And then later, Peter still had to give another account about this. Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth, the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us, and he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith." So this gift of the Holy Spirit is over and over and over and over again tied to salvation. It's tied to salvation. It's meant to be either an immediate or rapid successor to us being saved. Sometimes it actually happens before people are baptized in water. Sometimes it happens after. Sometimes the gift of tongues comes immediately. Sometimes the gift of tongues come later. Some people don't receive the gift of tongues for a long time. It was 10 years later, after I received the Holy Spirit, before I ever spoke in tongues, and that's not the measure. The measure is transformation. I think the measure is transformation. Yes, it is a good word from the Lord. That the measure is transformation. The Lord wants the Holy Spirit working within us for our transformation and for our empowerment to minister. And when I received the Holy Spirit and that happened to me, I began to be transformed more thoroughly and more consistently and gain new power in being able to minister his word that I had not had before. It says here, God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving the Holy Spirit just as he also did to us, and he made no distinction between us and them. He cleansed their hearts by faith. He cleansed their hearts by faith. That was his work. It was his work. And the Holy Spirit and the movement of the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit to them is associated with this salvation and his action of cleansing their hearts by faith. I'm going to skip this passage really quick. Get down to the summary. All right. When the Holy Spirit came, power was evident and fruit came forth. Sometimes it was simultaneous with belief. Sometimes it happened later. For the Ephesian disciples, it was later. Sometimes it was spontaneous, sometimes with the laying on of hands. Sometimes people spoke in tongues. Sometimes people prophesied. No scripture says all must speak in tongues. So we're not about having you speak in tongues and prove it to us. We're not about having you prove it to us. You don't have to prove it to us. You belong to God. You're not accountable to me, and I'm not here to measure whether you're saved or not by whether you speak in tongues or have some certain gift. That's not scriptural at all. And I have to respect the fact that God took 10 years from the point that I received the Holy Spirit to give me that gift. The timing was perfect. The way in which he gave it was perfect. And he could do the same with you. Who am I to put a burden upon other people, one that I wouldn't have been able to measure up to? Right? It was 10 years between. Is the gift of tongues a good gift? Yeah, it's a great gift. I'm really glad about it. I'm really glad to have it. It's a fantastic gift. Would I love it if all of you had that gift? It'd be great if all of you had that gift, because there's real benefits that come from it. But I tell you what, I wasn't ready to receive it until an exact, certain day when something was going on, and the Lord said, here, how about this? I was like, I know what that is, yes. I know what that is, yes. And it's been good ever since. But he respected me through the entire time, all my life, and the 10 years between receiving the Holy Spirit and him giving me the gift of tongues. He was respectful toward me the entire time. Never forced anything upon me. Is the gift of tongues good? It's very good. Ask him for it. Maybe today's the day. All right, the power of the Holy Spirit. You foolish Galatians, Paul writes to the Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? They had gotten this idea in their heads that they need to obey the law. But we talked about that. Do people still need to obey the law? No, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from that old law, which was the law of sin and death. It was all about sin and death. They had this idea they still needed to follow the law. Who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Well, it wasn't the works of the law. That never got anybody the Holy Spirit. It was hearing with faith, just like Cornelius. They heard, God cleansed their hearts, and they rejoiced and received the Holy Spirit and gave praise to him. It's always by hearing with faith. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and work miracles among you do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? He's trying to get their minds completely off this idea that they need to follow the law. The law is done for believers. We have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the old law, which was all about sin and death. So the Holy Spirit is central to our life in Christ and how we minister and what we think, how we think the whole thing comes down from heaven. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sakes. The gospel did not come to the Thessalonians just by word, just by talking, and having a lot of words go forth out of Paul and the boys when they were going around ministering, but in power and in the Holy Spirit. In power in the Holy Spirit. And if our lives are powerless, if our lives are powerless, if we can't minister with power, or we're attempting to do things and nothing's really happening, maybe we need to go to the Lord and say, I need some Holy Spirit here. Maybe you're in the situation I was in for so many years, where I hadn't really received that Holy Spirit. So check if you think you need power in your life and it's been absent. The Holy Spirit may be pulling on your ear this morning to open up to receiving him. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So salvation, first announced by the Lord, confirmed to us by those who heard him. God testifies to salvation coming by signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's some of the testimony that's meant to go along with salvation, is that powerful things happen. And you see it in all three cases. On the day of Pentecost, up in Samaria, down at the coast with Cornelius and the Gentiles. Power moved simultaneously with salvation coming in those situations. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation for the common good. So you're meant to have a spiritual gift. Maybe it's tongues, maybe it's something else. I mean, I think that I always had a spiritual gift of teaching. It wasn't very empowered before I received the Holy Spirit, and it became much more empowered after I received the Holy Spirit. So that's one of them. There's about 20, and God gives to everyone a spiritual gift. Do you know what yours is? Do you know that it comes from the Holy Spirit? And he's the one who empowers that. He's the one who wants to make that powerful and potent and effective in the ministry that he sets before you. And there's this verse again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have to have a life in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the one who ministers Jesus Christ to our hearts. So we have life in him. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus setting us free from the other. And then just a little bit later. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So that's if you're thinking, I struggle with this sin, I struggle with that sin. I feel like I'm not making any progress. I feel like a loser in my Christian faith. I felt like a loser in my Christian faith and ineffective and kind of useless at times in my life. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He will give life. Yeah, it's our bodies. It's actually our physical flesh, which is the issue why we still have a sin nature. Remember, we're going to lose this body when we die, and we're going to get a new one. And that one isn't going to have that problem where it's kind of continuously sucking us back down toward sin and that sort of, or trying to. We're going to be free of all of that. But like I said a few weeks ago, when I became a believer when I was 11, but when I was 11, I became a believer. Did I leave behind every single sin I had ever done and every different kind of sin that I had ever done when I was 10? No, some of those things I went back to. Some of those things I made worse in the coming years because I was just this juvenile, you know, dummy doing stupid stuff and not knowing how to walk in the Lord, and people hadn't showed me how to walk in the Lord and in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't blame that. I don't blame my parents. I don't blame the church. Just like that wasn't the environment that I grew up in. And because I didn't grow up in that environment, I can talk about the difference today here. So God was sovereign in having me grow up in that environment without that sort of leading, so I can tell you why there's a benefit to the Holy Spirit today. There's a big difference. Big difference that happens when the Holy Spirit is powerful in us. And he will give life to our mortal bodies. I couldn't stand the idea of not having that from him at this point in my life. Okay, so here's the summary for that section. This is what it looks like when the Holy Spirit comes and the power of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is often obvious because of supernatural manifestations of his power. This includes things like tongues, prophecy, miracles, signs, and wonders. I would include healings with that. Spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit points to Jesus, glorifies God, and blesses individuals and the church. And the Holy Spirit also works personally within us to bypass and overcome sin by delivering new life in Christ. He will work personally within us to bypass and overcome sin by delivering new life in Jesus Christ. So we're going to have some closing music. I'm going to have summary points here in the next slide of this whole thing. And so if the worship team could go ahead and come up. And so in the next few minutes, here are the things that are going to happen. I'm going to go over the summary slide here, which I haven't gone to quite yet. That's the summary for part three of this slide, of this sermon. Kim is going to come up and give us a message here before the worship team starts. So, Kim, right after I get done with the next slide. We're going to have a time of ministry here. I want anybody to come to feel free to come and ask to receive the Holy Spirit. And two ways you can do that. So you can go ahead and come up while the worship team is singing the last song and leading in the last worship. I'm not going to have a point after this point where I dismiss anybody. So this is really a time of some worship and some personal ministry. And if you want me or Jim to minister to you personally after the music, you can stay and we'll minister you personally one-on-one. And you can come for anything. You can come for healing. You can come for blessing. You can come to have hands laid on you for receiving the Holy Spirit. But if you're done, after this slide that I'm going to go to next, if you're done today and you want to just have fellowship out in the foyer and have some great snacks, I'm glad you've come. And you're free to do that because there's no coercion or compulsion in the kingdom of God. And nobody should have to be, nobody is forced to stick around while something else goes on after this point. So you're free to go at any time. You don't have to stay. You're free. You're actually free. Nobody will look at you strange. We'll all be glad that you're exercising your freedom. It'll be glad. It'll be good. So the end of this message is upon us. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us. If you need power in ministry, come. Come. If you need power in prayer, come. Come today. Come here to the altar. If you need power over sin, come. And we'll minister to you. And we'll lay hands on you. And we'll bless you so that you receive power to overcome sin through the Lord Jesus. If you're not sure what you need, but you need something, come. Come if you need something. Come if there's a disturbed place inside your soul and you're unsure. And I believe the Holy Spirit will speak words of reassurance to you. Nobody is under compulsion. Nobody is under compulsion. The kingdom of God doesn't work that way. The kingdom of God is about you having freedom. No particular manifestation of the Spirit is expected you, and that includes tongues. It's not expected of you. That's between you and God when he gives that to you. But if you want that, we can lay hands on you and see what he's doing today. The ministry of the Holy Spirit will be individualized for you. And I have to be in tune with that and listen as I minister and go where God wants to go and let the conversation happen between you and me and the Lord, and let him be in it, so it's personal to you, and not bad, but good. So Kim, if you would come up. Kim is a missionary of ours, in a sense, and she travels around and ministers to people all over the Western United States, and even in Mexico. And she has a prophetic gift from the Lord. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit that he gives to different people at different times. And usually the ministry of prophecy is one of encouragement. Yeah. And so, there you go.
That is so, so cool. I didn't know what she was going to preach about. And God loves you so tenderly that he gave me a word, a prophetic word, for this body today, right here, that means you, you're sitting in the seats. And then he gave you Keith's word, or the word of God through Keith. And the funny thing is that they're just really close to the same thing. But he loves you so deeply, he didn't just give it to you once. He gave it to you twice. So that tells me that there is at least one, sometimes it's one, sometimes it's everybody, that needs to hear something this morning. Beyond just what he gave you, and that it's this. He's given you in your life an idea that he wants you to accomplish. It might be a job, it might be a gift, it might be a stirring in your soul, it might be any number of things. He speaks to you, and he speaks to every one of us. He'll speak to you maybe differently than he speaks to me. But nonetheless, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you of something that you've either let go of, or you thought it wasn't ever going to happen, or you thought, oh, not me, I can't do that. And he's here this morning to say, yeah, okay. And he wants you to stir it up. He wants you to stir it up. Maybe it's something you've forgotten. If you ask the Holy Spirit, lighten up. Just ask him.
little room, freedom to do what people like and follow you where they want to go or do what they want to do. Lord, your kingdom is about freedom. So we ask for freedom from the things that bind us. We have freedom from you in Jesus' name. Come and receive in Jesus' name.
You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.